Well, good morning, church family. Thanks for being here. Let's turn to our Bibles to the book of Acts in chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And a quick thank you, church, for investing in our family to come here, investing, to have some days put aside in your church calendar to host a revival. And I know the Spanish people were blessed. It blesses my heart to see churches reach out to the Spanish community. And it also encourages me as a Spanish-speaking person to do the same for all people.
Amen.
God doesn't look at the, obviously, we know that, at the color of anyone's skin. And we just need to reach everyone everywhere.
Amen.
Pastor Cruz, our pastor there, Shining Light, says something often, everybody, everywhere.
Amen.
Everybody needs to hear the gospel. You've probably heard the little hymn, everybody ought to know who Jesus is.
Amen.
And just think about this. Someone took the time to tell you the gospel.
Amen.
Someone took the time to share Jesus Christ with you. I told the folks at the revival on Friday that to make sure they'd be here on Sunday morning. I don't know if everyone's here. But you'll know in just a second why. Acts chapter 16. And we'll begin with verse 31, just for the sake of time. And we'll read all the way to verse 34. And if we could read together verse 32 and verse 34, please. Acts 16, verse 31 says, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway." Everyone? "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." It's an amazing story here, if you know what's going on here. Through many circumstances, Paul is used of the Lord to reach different people with the gospel. We see Lydia. We see another lady with a bad spirit. And he's thrown into jail. And at night, the Bible says that they were singing, they were praising the Lord. And the wall shook. And the Philippian jailer, wants to take his own life. But God uses Paul to tell him to not do that. And we know he gets saved and his life is changed. And I think about our lives, how many times we're, if I was Paul in jail, I don't know what I would do. I can almost guarantee you that I wouldn't be singing. And I'm just being honest. And you may say, wow, you're preaching and you wouldn't be singing in jail? There's been, we've not sung for a whole lot less in our lives.
That's right. Yes.
Our breakfast at McDonald's isn't ready when it should be ready. And they ask us to park and wait a few minutes. How do you feel about that? I think most of us don't like it. It's a little quiet, huh? Amen. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of things in our lives that the Lord allows. And he puts us in certain places at certain times. Because God wants to do something extraordinary in our lives. And I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Don't Miss It. Don't Miss It. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Again, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for giving us the opportunity, Lord, to be in your house. Thank you for this wonderful church, the friendship, not only the name of the church, but really how friendly, how Christ-like the members are. I pray, Lord, you bless Pastor Gordon, his family. And Lord, this morning, Lord, we ask that you would just move in a great way. We love you. And Lord, you'll get all the glory, Lord. I put myself in your hands. And touch me, use me. And if there's something that doesn't need to be said, I pray, Lord, you would just take that out of my mouth and heart and mind. And that only what you would want to be said would be said this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't want to start off bad this morning, but are there any baseball fans here? Any baseball fans? A few of you. So some of you will know what I'm talking about. We're just sports fans, period. My brother once went to a Dodger game. I was born in L.A., so I'm a big Dodger fan to this day. And amen, brother. Long story short, nobody likes their team losing. And you've often been to a game, any game really, and if the home team is losing, right around the end of the game, what happens? People start filing out, right? Start leaving their seats. They're not going to watch, the end score. They already know how the game's going to finish. They start leaving. Many of them are disappointed, really, that they watched their home team lose. You know, they want to beat everybody out the parking lot, you know, get home at a good time. That year, my brother went. He went with a couple friends. I think it was 08, 09, 2008, 2009. And our team was down by 4 runs in the bottom or the top of the 9th inning. So him and a couple of the guys decided to leave. What are the chances that, you know, you're going to catch up? And I know you've probably heard these stories, but, you know, he left. And as he was walking out of the stadium, he heard the crowd cheer. He didn't think much about it. As he's walking out closer to the car, you got to understand, at least in Dodger Stadium, you know, it takes you a 10-minute walk to get to your car. So as he gets to the car, he hears another round of applause. It's a little louder this time. And he wonders, what's going on? He turns on the radio as he's exiting now the parking lot, and the announcer is going nuts, and the fountains are going nuts again. And as he reaches the highway, the fans through the radio are even going more berserk. The Dodgers have now tied the game. It was the bottom of the 9th with 2 outs, and they hit 4 consecutive home runs, back to back to back to back. Folks, if you don't know much about baseball, that rarely ever happens, especially if you're losing. Everything's against you, all the momentum is against you, your morale is down. And then they went to the bottom of the 10th inning. And the Dodgers are the home team, and he's driving home wishing he would have stayed. And one of the guys that the Dodgers had just loaned for, you know, the last 2-3 months of the season, I think it's Steve Finley, hits a game-winning home run, and the Dodgers win. My brother got home and told me the story. It was close to, you know, 11 o'clock midnight when he got there. He's like, you know, the Dodgers are losing. I left. No, he told me the Dodgers won. I'm like, did you watch it? I heard, you know, 4 home runs in the row. Were you there? He's like, I left. I left right before the end of the game. I'm like, why? He's like, who knew? Who knew that the game was going to turn around? Who knew that they would pull it out? I'm like, but they're our team. They're supposed to pull it out. Obviously, that's me telling them afterwards, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I'm thinking I would have left in the 8th inning, you know. I would have got here earlier, you know. But I think many times in the Christian life is much like that. Yes. It feels like we're down. It's the bottom of the 9th. And there's no hope. And I think of Paul in this story in particular, how he just pressed forward. He continued forward. And we see the miracle of the moment. In verse 34, when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. And praise God, you know, he was already coming into the family of God. He already knew what to do with Christians, right? Feed them, right? Amen? And rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Remember in time, I know I'm not here to just tell stories. There was a time where I was out soul winning for several weeks, and we would go out every week and tell people about the Lord. Many weeks, you know, just week after week in our bus route, people would get saved. And we went through a dry spell. We hit this predominantly Catholic neighborhood, but it was in our bus route. And I remember this guy, just to tell you, one guy told me, you know, we were going through the gospel, and I was trying to share with him how to get saved. And it was, I don't know, I'm not going to call him weird, but this whole situation was weird. He was reading the verses backwards. He's like, I understand the Bible backwards. And he started with the period and started reading backwards. That's the kind of days we were having there on the bus route. You know, folks just, you know, just reading the Bible backwards and shutting the doors on us. That was nothing new. And it seemed like every time somebody would listen to the gospel, they just would decide not to get saved and so on and so forth. And if you've ever shared the gospel, you know, it disappoints you. Not because you want to get the glory here, but, you know, someone so close to having heaven, someone so close to getting saved and they don't. I remember 4 or 5 weeks had gone by, and it doesn't happen all the time, but I did pray, Lord, are we wasting our time here? I mean, we're literally investing Saturdays, I mean, hours to go on this bus route. We haven't had any new kids on the bus. Everybody seems to be so rude. And Lord, I just wonder if it's worth it. I really do. Have you ever wondered? You know, have you ever gotten down a little bit? If you've been saved long enough, you've gotten down a couple of times. Yeah, amen. And I asked the Lord, you know, Saturday, I told him, Lord, and this isn't, I'm proud of this or anything, but I'm like, Lord, if you were to save someone or just show me something today, because I'm getting weary here. And I want to do it, but I can't. I can't do this anymore. In our bus route, you know, we had been running our bus route for many years, and I'm going to try to really get to the message here, but you got to hear this. We were knocking on doors just like every other Saturday, kind of discouraged, but Lord, just one more time. And there was this boy, there was this man that came up, asked us what church we were from, and I pulled out the track, you know, we're from our church here, and he said, oh, great, you know, we were out here on Friday, we were out here door knocking. They were from a different church, not a Baptist church, but a, you know, Christian church, you know, same faith, and very similar. And anyway, so another boy came by, and it was a boy that I recognized, that I hadn't seen in a long time. This boy's name was Angel. And Angel used to ride our bus. But Angel was one of those bus kids that when he would hear you coming, he would hide. So mom would say, you know, he's still sleepy. He's not feeling well today. You know, he's at his friend's house. So mom would, you know, back him up there. And for many, many years, he wouldn't come faithfully. And we would often go to his door and really just waste time. Because he would promise to come and he wouldn't come. So he greeted me. And he said, Brother Ronald, how are you? I'm like, Angel, doing good, man. You've gotten so big, you know, 4 or 5 years later. And he said, Brother Ronald, I want to tell you something. He's like, I want to apologize to you for all the times I hid. He's like, you knew I hid, right? I'm like, yeah. I knew you were hiding. I knew you were in the house. He's like, well, let me tell you. He's like, about a couple years ago, he's like, I moved here to this new city. And he's like, this man came on my door and started bringing me to church. He's like, let me tell you, I got saved.
Amen.
And the Lord changed my life.
Amen.
Yes. And I just want to tell you that God worked so much in my life that now I'm doing what you're doing. He's like, this weekend we were out here and we saw about 12 people get saved.
Amen.
He's like, I just want to tell you, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for knocking on my door and thank you for taking me to church.
Amen.
And I was thinking, Lord, I was about to throw in the towel. And you just encouraged me. You just gave me a reason to keep going.
Amen. Amen.
You know what? And we went to the next door. The Lord knows. There was a couple kids playing, older kids. And pretty soon, they were there. They heard the gospel. And all three in that family got saved.
Amen. Yes.
You know what? There's times in our life, maybe even this morning, and you're going to want to quit. There's people due to COVID that are going to want to quit.
Yeah.
And there's different reasons why people get to those quitting spots. But God is a good God. Look at verse 8. Just going to go through the story real quick that the Bible has for us. And they passing by Mysia came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto us. Just going to give you like almost like a Bible study type thing here this morning. But let me tell you, folks, any place is a great place to serve the Lord. Any place. You know, there's no wrong place to take the gospel. But we see here through different verses, starting in verse 6, and when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. Sorry if I'm not reading those verses correctly or those names correctly. That's one of my complaints, you know, with some of these names. I'm like, why are they so complicated to, you know, say and pronounce? But we see here the Lord's guiding the Apostle Paul to go to these places. And a couple of things here, when the Lord guides us, we need to always remember when the Lord is guiding us, we need to say, Lord, is it biblical?
Yes.
Is there something in your word? God is never going to go against his own word.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
You know, he's not going to go against what he's already said in his word. Amen. Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
You know, well, you know what? As a kid, well, I'm just going to obey my friends today, and it's really against my mom and her wishes, but I think it's justified. Well, the Bible still says, honor thy father and thy mother.
Amen.
That it may be well with thee.
Amen.
You know, the Bible still says for us to live in one accord with our wife. Well, you know, the scrambled eggs weren't that good this morning. And she just wasn't ready like she said she would. Well, the Bible says that we should strive to get along.
Amen.
You know, we should love each other and keep the peace and the bond of the Spirit. And the Bible will never contradict itself. The Bible is also very clear and very specific. We need to be sensitive to the Lord. Thank God for your pastor. You know, he loves God, he loves you, it's very evident. He prays for you. Back him up. Ask God to guide him as he preaches. And don't, well, you know, I'm just, you know, if you can be here. I've been going to church since I was 5 years old, turned 34 just a couple days ago. So this Resurrection Sunday, my family started going to church 29 years ago. And I got saved as a 17-year-old, so almost 17 years now coming up in April of being saved. So 50-50, you know. Half of my life not saved, half of my life saved, and God's been so good. But one thing's for sure, you know, God will guide us through his word. Get in the word. Get in the Bible. You know, something interesting too, as God guides your life, he will always give you results. He always does. Look at verse 13. Verse 13, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. We see here, number one, as God gives results, people will be listening. Yes. Yeah. You know, some of the people we need to focus more on, even more so, and I tell myself this, is the people in our own home. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man that he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, what would it profit us? I'm not going to change the Bible there, but if we reach everyone and we lose our own household.
Yes.
We need to pray that God would give us influence in our children.
Yes.
That God would give us influence in our grandchildren.
Yes.
That God would help us to raise a godly generation, a godly seed. People will be listening. Not only would people be listening when God is using us, but God will also help us to see people obeying. Praise the Lord that people obeyed last night and received the Lord as their Savior. You know what? And that's fruit for your labor. Fruit for your prayers. Fruit for your investment. And God will give us handfuls on purpose, to help us keep going. That was encouraging to me. I don't know about you. You know, to see people saved. Somebody told me as I went out the door, I didn't quite register until a couple seconds later. He said, there's rejoicing in heaven. I'm thinking, why? You know, the tamales? I know the tamales are good, but... And it dawned on me, well, someone just got saved.
Yeah.
Someone just trusted the Lord as their Savior.
Amen.
And not only when God gives results like we see here, we not only see people listening, people obeying, but as we see verse 16 and going and forward, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Not only do we see people listening and obeying, but also lives being changed.
Amen.
Praise God for a life changed.
Amen.
How many of you have been transformed by the power of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. I'm not talking about just some change. This can come on and off. I'm not talking about a suit coat today. I'm not talking about just bringing a Bible.
Yes.
You know, education will give us knowledge. You know, different things will reform us. But only this book, folks, will transform a life.
Amen.
Only this folk, only the Bible will get a drunk man and change him. Only the Word of God and His power will change a slave to sin and break the bonds of sin and break the chains of sin and bring life unto their life. But you know what? The devil, he's the devil. And when God gives results, the devil attacks. You know what? This morning, Sundays are so great. They're great for arguments in the morning. They're great for us not to find the shoes that you want to wear. Where are my earrings? Why is the iron not working this morning? Why did we wake up late today? Seems the kids wake up, well, I don't know about school, but on Saturdays, whoa, they're up early. But Sunday mornings, they struggle. You know why? I'm not going to give the devil all the credit. Sometimes it's just us and our flesh, our laziness. But I do believe many times it's the devil attacking. Look at verse 19, please. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, verse 20, and brought them into the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, a lie, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates ran off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. You know what? If you're not doing anything for God, the devil, it's not going to bother you. You go to church, it's all right. You know, you dress nice, it's okay. Yeah, you're taking it easy, and he won't bother you. I coach soccer for our Christian school team, and I know I'm Hispanic, but soccer's not my sport. I grew up playing baseball and basketball. Those are my two main sports. But I know enough about soccer just to kind of get by, and I've learned a lot these couple of years. But if you've ever coached, if you've ever watched the game, I promise you, the opposing coach is not making a scouting report on the guy that never plays. Amen?
Yeah.
He's not going to spend time focusing on the guy that gets 1 minute a game, or focusing on the guy that's played a total of 5 minutes the whole season, or focusing on the reliever that's probably never gotten any pitches in. And I think the same thing can be said about us.
That's right.
You know, we hold on to our blessed assurance, and we think, you know, well, my life is great. But when you start doing something for the Lord, opposition will come.
That's right.
And the best thing I can tell you, you may say, well, I don't want opposition. Well, you know, whenever the rubber meets the road, when a car gains momentum, there's always friction.
Yeah.
And in any line of work, the Bible says, in all labor, there is gain.
Amen?
Amen? You know what? A beautiful entry here. All these things the church family has done. But I promise you, it's taken a lot of sweat.
Yes.
It's taken a lot of maybe even blood. At our church, we did a remodel. It took us about 2.5 years maybe. Many nights. And many people, you know, compliment, you know, the auditorium, how beautiful it is. But we paid a price.
Yes. Right.
Many hours. And many even discouragements. You know, and if you're going to attend church and you're going to want to serve the Lord and you're going to want to do something for the Lord, and I don't know what that may be, and I'm sure Pastor will, through the messages and His Holy Spirit will guide you. Maybe God wants you to teach a Sunday school. Maybe God wants you to be a bus captain or a van captain. Maybe God wants you to be a discipler. And there's a lot of people that need not just to get saved, but to grow in the Lord. Sadly, we have a lot of spiritual babes out there in this world that need somebody to bring them along. So they're not only just drinking the milk of God's word, but that they would get into the meat of God's word. But there's some people that are in here in this morning that are still drinking the milk and have need of milk, but should be teaching someone else. Should already be giving the word. Should be encouraging. And by the way, you don't have to stand behind this pulpit to give the word. You don't have to stand behind a pulpit to encourage someone. It could be a young lady. Oh, sister that sang the special. That was a great special. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. Thank God He loves me. I have nothing to offer Him. I have nothing to give Him. I'm a Hispanic boy living in America, preaching right here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. When in the world? How? Lord! But God's been so good. God's been so great. But you know what? When you're doing something for God, just expect opposition.
Yeah.
If you're playing football, expect to get hit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when you're a Christian, expect the hits to come.
Yeah.
But the Bible says we can do all things through Christ,
amen,
which strengthens,
amen,
us. Amen. Look at verse 25. In the midst of the devil working, God continues to work. Verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And praise God, that's the power of the gospel. That's the power of God, loosing up the chains and the bands. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing that the prison doors were open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. You know what? In the middle of opposition, God will use you first to help others.
Yes. Amen.
If I was Paul, I would have been, I'm the one that needs help here.
Yeah.
If you see here, the next verse, I know we haven't read it yet, But Paul, verse 28, cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Someone had said, "I hope he dies. Hey, don't say anything. Let him kill himself. We'll all run out of here." He said, No. Do thyself no harm.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says to love even those that are difficult to love. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, he says to do good. I'm paraphrasing there. But talking about how God makes it to rain upon the just and the unjust. And I think, you know, often we want to be kind to those that are kind to us. You know, if somebody cuts you off on the road here, are you kind to them? Or do you want to roll down your windows and tell them, "Hey man, what's going on with you?" Not with those words exactly. Probably, you know, fancier words, you know, you would use. I don't know. I once heard of a preacher. Pastor, I forgot my phone. What time is it, Pastor? Oh, and I don't have my glasses either. So that's a perfect combination there.
11:58.
All right, I got to wind down. A waitress was having a bad day. He sat down. Service was nasty. And he left her a $20 tip on his way out. This is back in the 70s. And you've probably heard this story before, and I don't know. And he said, "Sir, you left this $20 bill here. Did you forget?" He's like, "No, it's for you." He's like, "Well, why'd you leave me this? I gave you terrible service." He said, "Well, it wasn't what you necessarily deserved, but I believe you needed that this morning." She started weeping and crying. She told him how she woke up late that morning, how her son hadn't gotten any sleep, how she's a single mom with a child, and her sitter wasn't ready to get the child. Therefore, she got to work late. And her boss chewed her out and said, "If you're late again, you lose your job." She's like, "I'm having a terrible morning. A terrible morning. And you leave me this?" And they gave him opportunity to witness to her.
Yes.
And she got saved.
Yes.
You know, oftentimes, you know, God's going to use the situation we're in. See, when we're going through a difficult time, all eyes are on you. When someone's going through cancer, people are watching your life. Our pastor would often say, you know, grief is often, it's an attention getter. People gravitate around people that are hurting. And God wants to use your life when opposition comes. But verse 33, very important as we finish up. "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway." You know what? It's amazing here that this jailer that was guarding the prison doors, now God begins to change his life. And he not only lets them come into his house, but he washes their stripes. In the midst of opposition, God works and he assures us of his presence. He assures us he's with us. You know, he'll never forsake us. He'll never leave us. And we should, as we continue reading, you know, we won't read everything else, but you know, we should remember to stand for the truth. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out what God has for my life.
Amen. Amen.
I would shamefully say that I don't know if I would stand up like Paul did that day. But I don't know what you're going through. And I don't know if you find yourself in the bottom of the ninth inning, down a couple runs, or maybe the fourth quarter with a couple of seconds left, basketball, football game, or maybe whatever analogy you want to use. But God wants to see you through. A couple years ago, I kid you not, we went back to Dodger Stadium. And our good old Dodgers were down again in the bottom of the ninth. They were only down 2 runs this time. And my brother said, "Let's go." I said, "Let's stick around, man." And one out came. And then they went on the rally and they won. They 3 runs in the ninth inning with one out. And didn't get any more outs. They just hit, double, home run, whatever it was. And we were all cheering. And I told my friend, my mom went, and all of us. I said, "What if we had left? We would have missed out." You know, sadly, a lot of people leave church. And they miss out on that message, on that revival, on that thing that God would have done. Let me tell you something as I close. Like I said, I've been going to church since I was 5 years old. But you know what? I think the best and the joy of the lifetime is to be saved and to be a Christian. I truly believe that with all my heart. It's not in the message, that's just me saying it. But I believe the happiest Christians are those that serve the Lord. Amen. Not just coming, but really wanting to do something. You know, and we all want to focus on the big things. But you know, even the little things. Even staying behind and just greeting people on their way out. coming early and greeting people on the way in. You know, you never know who you encouraged this morning as you walked in. Maybe, you know, I know we're not shaking hands, we're fist bumping, you know, shoe kicking, whatever we're doing right now. But just a, sometimes just a warm smile as someone walks in. Amen. Amen? Keep going, church. You know, this Myrtle Beach area needs you.
Yes.
This Myrtle Beach needs Friendship Baptist Church.
Yes.
This Myrtle Beach needs a beacon of hope, a beacon of light. There's a lot of sin in a lot of places, you know, but where sin did abound, grace abounded the more. Let's keep going. Don't miss out, folks. Don't miss out. God has something great. And I pray that one day you would tell your grandchildren, your children, or whoever the generations to come, I stayed in the fight, and I thank God for it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for being so good. Lord, I don't know what you have in store for us, but your word does say, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for those that love them. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to stay in the fight. We may get knocked down. Your word says the just man falls seven times and rises up again. Help us, Lord, to serve you, love you. Bless Pastor and the church family here. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing they were to us these past couple of